Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see y'all today, and we thank the Lord that He woke us up this morning and we're able to come and worship. As we just quickly look at announcements this morning, in lieu of flowers, Sally and I have made a donation to missions to the glory of God and in honor of Zach's 29th birthday. And so I don't know what's happening. I'm not getting any older, but my kids are. The 2021 flower calendar is in the narthex. If there's Sundays that are special to you and that you would like to place flowers, or as Sal and I have done, make donations in someone's memory or honor. And then, of course, as we mentioned last week, please note the little bit of adjustment in hours for both drop-off and shopping for Greene County Christian Outreach, known as COTS. Just please note those hours. Are there announcements that should be made this morning that were not made? Well, if that being the case, it's always a joy that the Lord calls His people together. So let us come and worship His most holy name. And loving Lord, indeed we know that You are with us. So as we have gathered in Your name and in Your presence, we open our hearts and our minds and our souls, seeking that You may receive our thanksgiving and praise, and we may receive that which You would communicate to us. As we proceed, we do pray that this service will be pleasing to Your sight and hearing, and that it will strengthen Your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Sometimes the world intrudes on us, and when it does, Jesus is there calling us home. So let's join in the litany for this morning, which is based on the hymn, Jesus Calls Us or the Tumult. Let's join together. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea.
Day by day. Follow me.
Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store.
From the title that redeemed us, saying, Christian, love me more.
In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease.
Jesus calls us to cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these.
Jesus calls us by Your mercies. Savior, may we hear Your call.
Give our hearts to Thine obedience. Serve and love Thee as the all.
As we go to prayer this morning and share our joys and concerns, we do want to remember Joel McCray of Greensboro, Florist, who had remembered his family actually as he passed away this week. We also want to remember Shirley Steele of Rutherford's Florist, who passed away this week. And then Alice asked that we remember her sister, Ann Lord, who is struggling now with effects from dementia. She is now struggling with swallowing, which so remember her in a most special way. Are there joys or concerns that should be voiced that were not? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, first of all, we just thank you for waking us up. We thank you for granting us another day of life, another day to experience the joy of your creation, another day to experience love and relationship with family, with friends, with brothers and sisters in Christ. The opportunity to gather in this holy room and worship your most holy name, being reminded of who you are and whose we are. Waking us up to grant us another day to perhaps strive to improve upon shortcomings from yesterday and enhance victories from the day before. Lord, every day you give us life, each day you give us breath, is an opportunity to be in relationship with you in so many ways. And so we just praise you and we thank you. We praise you that we do live in a land of freedom. And gracious Lord, as we are in the midst of a transition now in this time, remind us what a privilege is still ours. If the persons that we desire to be in office are in office, thank you for the opportunity to vote them in. If the election did not go the way we wanted, and then we hear the arguments and the fussing and the fighting, and at least speaking for myself, it gets on my nerves. But then, Lord, I thank you that we live in a place where that can take place, where that can occur, where we have those freedoms. And so, Lord, remind me that freedom is not necessarily what I want, but freedom is the ability for all to express the directions from which they come. Lord, thank you. And in those freedoms, we have the most precious freedom of worshiping you openly. And so, Lord, we just want to thank you for that freedom, and thank you for those who are here this morning. And Lord, remind us that that freedom that we sometimes take for granted and hopefully hold dearly, remind us that it's always being protected, that people are always in harm's way, some in military roles, some in civilian roles, but men and women are in harm's way 24/7, standing in that gap. May you protect those who protect us. May your healing be upon the wounded, the invisible wounds and the visible wounds, and may your peace be upon the families whose loved one gave it all. And Lord, we thank you that as we are gathered today, that we are reminded that you love each one of us as if no one else on this earth existed, and yet you love all of us with that same intensity. And thus we know that you know each person that was spoken of this morning, each person that is on our prayer list, and others that are still silent upon our hearts. You love them more intensely than we ever could. You created them. You know every fiber of their physical being and every nook and cranny of their soul. And so, Lord, we just pray your healing touch upon each one according to your will and your wisdom, for we know that you love them even more than we do. And Lord, we do thank you for the family of God that gathers, serves, worships through Walker Church. We thank you for one another. We thank you for the love for each other, a love that begins in you. We thank you that whenever we gather, we experience that love through one another, and we experience your Holy Spirit with us in a most special way. And we also pray, though, that when we leave these grounds, that we will be reminded that you go with us. And so we submit ourselves to you, praying that you will lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed, and that you will bring us back safely the next time, that we may worship you and encourage each other. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Gracious and loving Lord, we can give to you because you have lavished your love and gifts upon us. So as your people have brought to you now back a portion of those financial gifts, we pray that your blessings will continue upon each gift and giver, and that you will guide us as a congregation, that every penny that has been entrusted is used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
In the light of his glory and grace.
in the light of His glory and grace.
Thank you. Our scripture lesson this morning is Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Occasionally, whether one is playing a sport, playing a musical instrument, singing, cooking, I imagine a whole bunch of other endeavors, it's beneficial to be reminded of the basics. Because whatever our endeavor, unless we master the basics, it's impossible to excel in it. It's the same with our walk with Christ. As I look out at you this morning, most of us, if not all of us, have been Christians for decades. But even so, it serves us well to occasionally to review the basics. As you read the scripture lesson this morning, if you read the scripture lesson prior to my reading it just now, it's quite possible that you might have thought, well, this is more of an evangelistic scripture as opposed to a scripture for a message to long-term believers. But even if one has been a Christian for 60 or 70 years or more, we need to be reminded. In a single sentence, the writer asserts the central message of Jesus. The kingdom of God has come near, that time in which God's rule on earth is the same as it is in heaven. Repent and believe in the good news. In two short sentences, the writer has summarized Jesus' message to its most essential points. Now, as succinct as this sentence is, if we could successfully follow its instructions, we would accomplish a great deal of the Christian life. So this morning we're going to concentrate on that second half. Repent and believe in the good news. Now, what does it mean to repent? Many, if not most, would respond, well, of course, to repent is to be sorry for our sins. The American Heritage Dictionary, a very secular document, the American Heritage Dictionary advises us that, quote, "To repent is to feel remorse for one's conduct to the point that one changes their mind toward that action or situation," end quote. So even from secular sources, we learn that repenting is feeling remorse, but it goes beyond that. One can experience remorse for their sins because they got caught. One can feel remorse for their sins because they are afraid of hell. One can be remorseful in many ways because they are afraid of the consequences. I probably told you before. In elementary school, I know you're probably going to find this hard to believe, but I was a kid once. I wasn't always a preacher. In elementary school, I spent a lot of time in the principal's office. And the thing is it was 99% of the time it was for the same offense. They had this silly rule. You walk in the halls, you don't run. Well, I couldn't comprehend that. I mean, number one, I like to run. Number two, I've always figured you could get to point A to point B faster running and not walking. So I just couldn't comprehend this silly rule. And so most mornings, between teachers standing in their doorways and patrols walking around with their little belts with badges on them, I got caught. I was remorseful. Sitting in that principal's office, I feared the principal's paddle. Remember, I was in elementary school in the 60s. And even worse, what if they call home and tell mama, and then mama tells daddy? If they do, that principal's paddle is the least of my worries. I was full, I mean full of remorse. Well, you recall though, I said this occurred numerous times. Because every night I would get home, fearful of Dad driving up in the driveway. We had supper. He didn't say anything. He didn't look funny. He watched Gunsmoke or whatever was on that night. He didn't look funny. He didn't say anything. Daddy didn't find out. So the next morning, I get out of the car or off the school bus and I run down the hall again and I'm in the principal's office again and I'm remorseful again and we just repeat the process. I was sorry. Not that I ran, but because of the possible consequences. As adults, we still have temptations. We still have struggles. One of the disappointing things for me is I thought by the time I was 62 years old and had been preaching 40 years that I would have had this temptation and struggle thing licked. I didn't think I'd have any more. Wrong. And so in our temptations and our struggles, we seek the Lord's forgiveness, and the Bible promises that if we confess our sins, God is faithful, God is just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I want to ask you a question this morning. And whenever I say you, I mean us. I want to ask us a question this morning. How do we test if we are truly repentant? Because let's face it, some of our struggles is more than a one and done kind of thing. So how do we test if we are repentant and we're struggling to overcome X, or if we're afraid of consequences? I think of it this way. If I can commit this act, say these words, have this attitude, and no one will ever find out, and I will never suffer any negative consequences, do I experience remorse to the point before God that I seek God's strength to change? Let me repeat that. Whatever it is, no other human being will ever find out. I will never suffer any consequences on this earth. Do I feel remorse to the point that I seek God's forgiveness? Not to escape the consequences, but God's forgiveness and strength to change. You see, in the biblical tradition, to repent is to completely reorient one's entire being to faithful obedience to God. In the Old Testament, Israel stopped worshiping idols and pagan living and returned to the Torah, the law. In the New Testament, Jesus gets extreme. Particularly when you read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7, Jesus instructs that it's not enough to abstain from sinful actions. He instructs that our thoughts, our wishes, and our motivations are just as important. It's not enough to abstain from adultery. In God's eyes, the lustful look is just as wrong. It's not enough to abstain from hurting another person. The desire for harm to come to that person is just as wrong in the eyes of God. The list could continue indefinitely, but I believe Jesus' point is clear. To repent is to develop a new attitude, a new thought process. We examine our goals, we examine our intentions, we examine our motives as well as our actions. And we examine them in the shadow of the life and teachings of Jesus. In my manuscript that I originally wrote, I've got, if there are inconsistencies, well, I need to change that. When there are inconsistencies, because until we cross over to the other side, there are going to be inconsistencies. When there are inconsistencies, we seek the strength of the Holy Spirit to help us to adjust so that we become more like Jesus from our most public actions to our most private thoughts. Jesus instructed also, repent. Hopefully you have a good idea of what repenting is now. Repent and believe the good news. To believe in the good news, to believe in the gospel, is to believe the teaching and example of Jesus is the way not only to get to heaven, but the way to know God and the way to relate to each other. That the teachings and example of Jesus is truth. I want you to hear this. It was kind of eye-opening to me the first time I saw it. In the 1990s, now I know this is dated, but in the 1990s there was a Gallup poll that found at that time that 90% of persons polled believed God exists. However, when they asked follow-up questions concerning persons' lives in God, it was discovered that a belief in God made no difference in the way half of them lived. Let that sink in. How many people do you meet that say, I believe in God. I believe in a higher power. I believe in something that's controlling this universe. Well, does it control the way you live? Why? Why? 90% said, yeah, I believe in God. But half of those 90% said, it makes absolutely no difference in the way I live. And the sad thing is, as I said, this is dated. We would probably be making progress if we could get back up to that point. So I ask us, between ourselves and God, not the preacher's business, but yours and God, mine and God, does our belief in Jesus determine every aspect of our existence, or is Christianity an ideal but unrealistic philosophy of life? I don't know how many people I've had stand with me in church and say, well, you know, John, I know what Jesus said about X, but you know we can't live like that in the real world. Does our belief in Jesus determine every aspect of our existence, or is Christianity a great philosophy of life but something we know we can't live? And therefore, does it really make any difference? To truly believe in Jesus Christ is to orient every aspect of our life to the teaching example of Jesus. Just for a few examples. Our belief in Jesus will determine how we relate to other people, whether they are friend or whether they are foe, whether they are close family member, whether they are stranger. Our belief in Jesus will determine our priorities. Our belief in Jesus will determine how we spend our money. Our belief in Jesus will call us to a life whose pursuits and rewards are different from what society declares. Notice again what we orient our lives around, what we are invited to believe. We are invited to believe the good news of the gospel as personified in the person of Jesus Christ. We have considered, yes, this morning to believe in Jesus calls us to reorient our behavior and attitude. Unfortunately, too often, this reorientation is either presented as or received as something negative or something stifling. It is unfortunately interpreted as something as removing the enthusiasm for life. Jesus preached and personified good news. Jesus proclaimed, and this is something I don't know if we hear enough or either we twist it around, one of the two. Jesus proclaimed that he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Now that doesn't mean he came that we might be financially richer, but Jesus came that we might embrace the life that God intended and be set free from those things that tend to encumber us. I hope this is the Holy Spirit because it just came into my mind. The next time you're stressed, the next time you feel pulled down and weighted down, make either a physical list or a mental list and ask yourself, is this how God created me to be? Look back at the story of Adam and Eve. However you interpret that story, whether you interpret it metaphorically or whether you interpret literally, the point is, God had created a perfect existence. God had put humanity in that existence. And it was the perfect place. What messed things up was not God. What messed things up was people deciding they wanted to know as much as God, and they might even want, they wanted to know, be on the same level with God. And when they did that, it threw, until Jesus comes back, God's perfect creative order out of balance. Looking at the Adam and Eve story, if humanity had obeyed God all along, we wouldn't know what burnout means. We wouldn't know what stressed out means. We wouldn't know any of that stuff because God created a perfect order. So the next time you're stressed out, ask yourself, is this something God created me to be focused on? Is this something God created me to be fixated on? I can't speak for you, but so many times in my life, I have to say, no. There are two aspects to the good news that I feel led to have us consider after digressing for a moment. The first is likely a reminder, but a reminder that is good for all to remember regardless of how long we've been a Christian. It is good news that humanity, despite our sinful and rebellious nature, we are loved and sought by God. It is good news that though humanity is sinful, those who believe in Jesus Christ are declared righteous by God. It is good news that though humanity deserves punishment, those that believe in Jesus Christ will experience eternal life in heaven. The second is a little easier to forget. But if we really believe this stuff, then we have good news to share. We have good news that Jesus is bigger than all of our challenges. In the midst of the heartaches, in the midst of the challenges, in the midst of the craziness of life that are very real, we have good news. Regardless of the rise or fall of the economy, we have good news. And even regardless of our health, we have good news. We have good news that nothing in all of creation is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, all of us in this room are trying to follow you. All of us in this room want to be the people you're calling us to be. Yet, Lord, I'm reminded, at least for myself this morning, that repenting and believing in the gospel is not a one and done. Yes, I know that because I have placed my faith in you that I'm headed toward heaven. But Lord, it seems like every time I think I've grown in Christ, I experience struggles and temptations from another direction. And Lord, my guess is we all experience that. And so Lord, help us all as we discover those things in our lives that are inconsistent with you. Give us the courage, the desire, the will to repent, to reorient, and to trust in you. Lord, help us to grow in that grace that so when others see us, they see the personality and the traits and the love of Jesus. Even though we ourselves, when we look in the mirror, we don't see that. May we grow to that place where others see that in us. Lord, thank you for your good news. Your good news that is that promise of our one day eternity with you in glory. But thank you for the good news that we can have abundant life upon this earth. And so, Lord, you know each one of us in this room. You know where we need to repent. You know where we need to grow in our belief. May each of us grow closer to you this day and every day that you grant us life. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. And let us please stand for the benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.